This is Cindy Thomas. I'm interviewing Barbara Thomas at 326 Hillcrest Drive on October 28th. The subject of this interview is for Dr. Suzanne Marshall's History of American Swimming class at Jacksonville State University. Ms. Thomas, could you give me some information about your date of birth?
August the 17th, 1937.
And your parents' names?
Buna and George Robinson.
Your place of birth?
In a little town called Ironton, Alabama. That's in Talladega County.
Your spouse's name?
Howard Thomas.
Education, jobs?
Oh, I have... I had 2 years of college. Jobs, I've had various jobs like secretarial work. Worked at the GE plant when it first came to Oxford. I did a lot of work in the school with Mr. Thomas, like teaching for him when he would have teachers out, and mainly housewife, to stay home with the children to raise them.
Okay. At this point, we're going to check for clarity on our tape. Okay, Ms. Thomas, why don't you tell me about your childhood, what it was like growing up?
I thought maybe she had both those buttons down and shouldn't have both of them down, should you?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
They both.
Okay. Excuse me.
That is fine.
All right. Like I said, I was born down in a little place called Ironton. A long time ago, it used to be a mining town. And in the early 1920s, my mother was a postmistress in that town. There was a post office, right, a train station that came through there, and she had a post office there and was postmistress of the, you know, of that little town. And there was a school there, a small school that went probably from 1 through 12 grades, only it was just a very small building and a couple of churches back there. And then, of course, this was, like I said, in Mother's, in the early 20s. And, of course, I was born in 37, as I said. And by that time, we had moved on to closer into, from there into a little town called Montford. And we lived down there during the war years. There were five of us girls in our family, three boys. Mother had been married previously, and her first husband died with pneumonia. So our three brothers were much older than us, and of course they were involved in the war. They were all sent to war when it happened. But Mother didn't work because she was very busy trying to take care of all of us girls and see to it that we were fed and clothes and what have you. So we were raised very poor back then, but not so much that it bothered us, especially me. I was the younger of all the girls, and being the baby, I got the, I'm sure, they all took care of me, so to speak, and I just don't remember the bad times as much as my older sisters and brothers. I remember things that they told me of how bad it was, but actually myself, I don't remember it as being so bad, because I was just a young child and I was happy, you know. And so sometime in the early 40s went to the shipyard in Mobile to work there, and this gave our family a little added income. And of course, like I said, with my brothers being in service, this gave my mother money, you know, because they sent home an allowance to her, allotment, I think it was called, and this helped our family to get by. But Daddy was a farmer. We raised cotton and corn and stuff, and of course, I don't remember picking much cotton. I remember going to the fields with them, and I played in the big old cotton baskets, you know, and I had a good time. This was like, again, that was fun to me, but it was hard work to my older sister. But I remember, like, even the first ice cream cone that I ever had was one time when my brother came home, and just, we didn't have a car, of course, back then. We never owned a car. I never remember my parents owning a car in my entire lifetime. The first car we that I ever remember owning was when I married Mr. Thomas. But we had our brothers came home, and he carried us all the way to Anniston to get an ice cream cone. I mean, a real honest to goodness ice cream cone with ice cream on top of it. And to me, that was just something I never forgot, that occasion. I can remember it just as if it were yesterday, because it was that exciting to me. And also, he had a camera that he took our picture, and I have a picture of me as just a little, I looked like I was, you know, just probably, let's see, that would have been in 45. I was not even 10 years old, see. And or maybe sometimes before 45, he was probably home before the war was over on a leave.
Uh-huh.
So, because I remember standing up in front of this car, and they took my picture. And that was just the most amazing thing when we got those, he sent the picture back to Mother, that I could actually see myself. And I remember our fun things was like going to church. We were raised in the church. Mother always thought that we would care to church. And we did things like watermelon cuttings in the summertime, and in the fall we would, when they would, they had syrup mills, they'd make sorghum syrup, you know, and we had, we'd go to church and we'd have candy pullings, and they'd cook this syrup in these big old black wash pots, which is, by the way, what we used to wash for. We didn't have washing machines, we had scrub boards, and we boiled, Mother boiled our clothes in these old black pots, and but these pots, they'd clean them out, and this was, we'd cook that candy in there, and then all the kids would get the, you had to put butter, or, and we didn't have, I guess it was butter, that you put on your hands, you know, and keep them slick, and you'd pull this candy, we'd just pull it in long strings, and then you ate it, you know, it was like taffy night. But, I remember, sometimes, occasionally, too, we had ice cream. We'd have an ice, what they called an ice cream supper, and we had box suppers that you would pack some kind of a lunch, and you'd tie it up in a box, like a shoe box, if you was lucky to have that, and then somebody would bid on that or auction. I don't remember exactly how we did this. This might have been a school thing rather than at church. I'm sure it was, that we would have these things at school. Kind of a, as a means of making money, and somebody would bid on that box, you know, and I remember my older sisters and them doing this, and then who bought that box, you had to share that lunch with them, you know.
Hmm.
But I remember our ice cream at home one time, and I was still a very small child at this time, we had, we made it in a syrup bucket, and in one of Mother's wash tubs. Every week, or every 2 weeks, we had a man that came out of Anniston that drove an ice truck, and you could buy ice off of this truck, because we didn't have refrigerators. We had ice boxes. And if we were lucky enough that we had the money, Mother would buy some ice, and we always got iced tea during that time, and if we could spare it, we would take milk and we'd make ice cream. And we would take the old syrup bucket and put it, take the lid off and put it in that syrup bucket, and we all had to take our turns, turn it back and forth, back and forth, and then Mother would take the lid off and scrape the hard ice cream off of the side, and we'd make ice cream in a syrup bucket. But, and it was fun. I mean, I don't know how Mother ever had the time to do these things, because it's hard for me to make ice cream in an electric freezer today. but this is the way, that was the means that we had of making Thanksgiving. But, we just had fun. This was our way of playing. We went to the creek and went swimming. You know, if this was something we did for entertainment. We went home with friends on Sunday from church, and we'd go play with them all afternoon, come back to church that night, and that was really a treat, because everybody worked during the week in the fields, you know, chopping cotton and hoeing cotton, picking cotton when it was ready, and chopping the corn, hoeing the corn out, and of course, I never did that. I played in the baskets and things, you know, that but the other sisters had to do all that work. But I remember this one friend we used to go home with, and her dad was real talented, and he could always come up with things to play. Like, he built us a playhouse, and he had the old flying Jenny that was made on a stump, and the thing that went round and round, and just different things. And we used to play in the hayloft, and we'd take the bales of hay, and we'd build playhouses out of those. But we didn't have the toys like kids today have, but it was such fun things. And another thing I remember is like one of the toys that we used to play with, somewhere or another, we got two tin cans. Now, where we were fortunate enough to get these cans, I don't know, because I don't remember buying canned food. But somewhere or another, we found some cans. And we took this friend of ours, showed us how that you could take string and you could wax it with beeswax. And you could wax that thing and you could talk through those cans. And it was a means of telephone. And we would get on one end of the barn and we would have these telephones. And now that was a prized possession, because if you ever found a tin can or anything, that was something to play with. That was, and it was great. Christmas time, we had a lot of fun. We always went out and, of course, and chose our Christmas tree. And somehow we, by some means, we'd wet this Christmas tree down. And I really cannot remember how we wet them, unless we just took buckets of water and just dashed on it. And then we'd take Mother's sister with the flour and sift it on top of that, and it'd fall down on those limbs and it would stick. Because Daddy insisted we have a white tree. Every year we had to have the white Christmas tree with snow. So, and we made all my decorations. We'd take old Prince Albert tobacco cans and cut them up, and Daddy would punch a hole in the end of it, and we'd string them up on the tree as icicles, and we strung popcorn. Anything that you had that you could use as a decoration, you made it. Berries, if you could find them out in the woods, you'd take them and you'd tie those little clusters of berries on the tree. Mm-hmm. But we made all of our decorations and things. And of course, we never got much. I don't remember having big Christmases. I can remember my first doll. And that was all I got. And I was, at that year, I was like 11 years old. And I remember when I got this doll, I was so excited because I'd never had anything bought that was so pretty like that in my life. And I ran a good mile down the road to show my neighbors what Santa Claus had bought me, and because I was so proud of it. And when I got down there, well, they weren't a poor family, and they just had a room full of toys. And I remember walking in, running in that door to tell them, you know, look what I got for Christmas. And they thought I was crazy. They couldn't have cared less. They had a whole room full. And then I remember thinking, I just could not understand why Santa Claus didn't bring me out those toys. But I was still proud of my doll. And then my sisters were so jealous that I'd gotten this doll. I'd had it for several months. And right after that, my next oldest sister took appendicitis and had to go to the hospital. Well, this was really something. And so after she came home, my sister next to me thought this was just great if my doll had appendicitis and they could play hospital. So they cut my doll open, and of course we couldn't sew it back up. Just hurt my beautiful doll.
Oh, bless your heart.
But we got fruit and stuff for Christmas. We always got a lot of fruit, like bananas. We'd get a whole stalk of bananas.
Uh-huh.
And apples came, of course, in the crates and things like that. But it was all good. Nothing about my lifetime do I remember that is sad to me. I don't have any bad memories. I think that it made me a better person to be raised like I was raised, because I appreciate things in life. Anything I get, it's worth, if it's worth having, it's worth taking care of. I'm very strong about that, even today. That, you know, and that's from the way being raised, the way I was raised. That if you have it, you ought to take care of it, because it's priceless, you know. And it's not, nothing is easy to come by. But it was, you know, Mother and Daddy taught us to have a lot of pride in ourselves, and I'm thankful for that. They taught us to always consider ourselves as good as anybody else, but never better. They always taught us we was never better than anybody else, but that we could be anything in life we wanted to be. All we had to do was to go for it and make up our mind. And of course, knowing the family, you know, we're all that way. We're all strong-willed and strong-minded, you know, in going after the things that we want in life. So, but it was, life to me growing up was great. I got really good fun memories, and I could talk forever, but I know you need to ask another question.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, okay, leaving your childhood and going on to your young adult life, when you and Mr. Thomas, when you met, and did you meet before he went to war? Or
no.
Was after he came back?
Excuse me, Mr. Thomas.
And he was at what, Korean?
Mm-hmm. he was in the Korean War, and he graduated with my sister. He's about 5.5 years older than me, 6. And we met after he came back from service. And really, it was just a blind date. Had no intentions of ever liking that man. It was just something, yeah. That I was just doing a favor for my sister. He came home and needed a date. And needless to say, that one date ended up in our marriage. And, of course, we married. And at the time we married, he was already in college at Jack State. He was going to do on the GI Bill and working part-time at the A&P Tea Company, which a lot of your teachers might remember. It was a grocery store, and he worked there part-time. He made about $24-$25 a week working there at the grocery store. I'm not sure what he was paid on the GI Bill, but anyway, we lived in the vet apartment in Jacksonville, which was a little three-room apartment, and our sink was made of tin, and the hot water heated was heated with a I can't remember what you call that little burner, like hot plate, I guess is what you call them. But that's what it looked like, just slid up under there. But still, that was big time. We were just really in high cotton at that time, because we had money about that coming in. And we bought a washer and dryer, which was the only new thing that we owned. Everything else that we had in that apartment was given to us, like a bed, chair, a couch. We did not have a TV. We did not have a radio. And so everything we had, you know, was just something that was handed down to us. But I remember it being so sweet. My first curtains were made out of Guana sacks. And you probably don't know what Guana is, but Guana is a fertilizer that you used in the field. And they came in an old sack, and you could bleach them out and then dime. I don't remember what we used, probably some kind of color we used on those things, though. But I had curtains that I made, little country curtains, out of those Guana sacks. And I was big time proud. And when one of the couples moved out of their apartment, they had a linoleum rug, and they gave us that rug. And we had it on our floor, so we were kind of in high cotton, you see.
Yeah.
And then, of course, like I said, we had that new washer and dryer. Howard bought that because I had pneumonia a lot and had trouble with my lungs. And so and he owned a little 57 Chevrolet that, it was not a new car, but it was a car, and that was really something for us. But he went on to finish college, and he took a job, his first job. He made like $298, I believe, a month. So by that time, we had progressed, and we were really doing well, we thought. And I realized, like I said, thinking back about it, that we really didn't have anything. We were just poor then, but I didn't realize that. I had so much more than I had had as a child, and I thought I was well off. And of course, Howard did well in his work, and he went on and became high school principal in later years. And so we did okay. Life's really been good to us. We've been blessed in that. We're still not rich or anything like that, but we are. We can live comfortably, and we're better off today than we ever dreamed in a lifetime as children that we'd ever be. So we have nothing to complain about.
Great. Okay. When your husband was principal, did you go through the immigration? Did it cause a lot of problems?
Well, yes, it did for us. In 69, Mr. Thomas came to Sachs High School as principal there. And now, that was the first year, I believe, that was when they integrated, I believe, the first year he came there. And, of course, him being a new principal coming into a new community, it definitely meant problems for us. We went through some really bad times, but I look back and there was good times, too. But Howard and I both worked very hard trying to make that work at that school. We would go over to the black communities, and we met with the black leaders of their community, and we tried to let them know that, and as best we could, that we were caring. We had feelings for all children, and that was really true. He didn't care if they, Mr. Thomas didn't care if they were black or white. He definitely cared about the children. And so I think these people could see this, and but yet that caused a lot of problems from the white people in our communities that knew that we were meeting with the black people and so forth.
Because they didn't like it.
Because they didn't like it. We had our home, you know, it, I don't know if you remember this, but you may have remembered reading in the paper. Our home was had rocks and coke balls and things thrown through our windows many times due to
really?
This. We went through some bad times. And then... so it was a hard time. It was hard for the children in that they had never been used to this type of thing, this type of living, this harshness. And it was really hard for Keith and Jana during that, those years. But it was a struggle, but we made it. And there was some, we made it with the help of a lot of good people in the community, because when you always have the bad along with the good, and, or the good along with the bad. So while I was talking about some of the bad things, you still had so many good people that made the outcome, and you remember the good. For some reason, you remember all these people who made it worth our staying in Saks all those years. Yes, I remember it. I can still remember it being a bad time. It was a struggle for people in this community, you know, but as the old saying goes, we've come a long way.
A long way. And I know, you know, your personality, I know you're very strong, and you have a strong, outspoken, and on your viewpoints, and maybe going on into, what about women's roles in your community?
Well, I've never been one that was real strong for women's rights, because I've always felt like that I had my rights as a woman. I don't feel like that I've ever been denied any rights, or, you know, in that sense. I'm one that has always enjoyed letting the man have the prominent role in the family. I believe in that. I believe it's biblical that the man should be the stronghold of the house. And so being raised that way, I've never been one that felt like that I had to have equal rights with a man. I don't want equal rights with a man. I don't want to go out there and work hard like a man works. I enjoy a man taking care of me, and I don't think that will ever change. And I've always felt that way, and I was strong in that with that feeling when all this was going on. You know, I think that that was has been the downfall of our children, in that when women started to work, even that goes back to the war days, you know, when the mothers had to leave home and go to work in order to, you know, during the war to make things, I just feel like that was the beginning of bad times, that I still feel like that our nation would be much stronger today if women were in the home raising children and bringing them up the way they ought to be brought up, and letting the man be out there making a living.
Well, how do you feel about today, how some families have SWAT roles, where the woman is out working and the dad stays home raising the child?
Well, see, I just don't think that, again, that anybody, any man can take the place of a mother. There's something special about a mother. There was something special about my mother, and I'd like to think that there was something special about me as a mother. And I just don't feel like that any man could fill the shoes of a mother. So and don't misunderstand me, I think fathers are so important in a child's life. I think they have a very important role, and I think some of them do a very good job taking care of children. There's cases where they've had to, and I know that there's a lot of men that can do a fine job taking care of a child. But again, I think that you know, that if it was, if there was no question of it having to be, if it's just a question of choice, that I still go along with the mother role in the home and the father doing the job. As my mother would say when she was living, circumstances often make the case, you know, and I guess that's what I'd have to say. There is some cases that maybe this would, that I'd have to agree with, but I still feel strongly about a mother being in the home raising children, and looking after them, and being there when they come home from school, and teaching them the things that they need to be taught, that only they can be taught in the home.
Right. I need to pause for just a moment. Okay, we're back. Now, Ms. Thomas, what historical event sticks out in your mind the most?
I can't remember exactly what year, now that I think about it, that President John F. Kennedy was assassinated, but I guess that probably sticks out in my mind as well as any event that I can think of. By this time in my life, we had acquired a television.
Yay.
And even though it was black and white, probably that's about all there were back then, but we, you know, I could see that on television. I saw those events as it happened. And I guess, you know, before things that had happened, you read about it or you heard about it, but you didn't see it like that. We saw that, every bit of that from beginning to end. And that was just a time and an event that really, I guess I remember, that was such a sad time, such a sad thing to happen to our nation. So I guess that's what I remember the most. I can't think of right now anything. My mind, I kind of just draw a blank of other things that have happened. I remember when George Wallace was, funny, I thought of this, that when he was shot, you remember he was, of course, governor of our state at that time. I can remember where I was. I was in this house, in fact, and I was cooking, and I heard that flash on TV, and I ran to see it. The grease caught on fire, and I burnt the whole house down.
Oh my God.
And burnt my hand really bad. So I remember that event, although it does, for somehow that doesn't stick in my mind. It's being so traumatic as the president being killed. You know, that really was something to see that, and
right.
See him in that car being shot and everything. You know, but.
Mm-hmm. Very well. And as far as Governor Wallace, what are your feelings about him? How did you feel about him?
Well, you remember, I don't know if you remember that so much or not. You were still quite young.
Right, I don't know.
But, and I cannot remember the year, but I'm sure that all the older people at school will remember when. We remember him mainly because he was the one who stood in the door of the university, and this was during our integration time, he was not going to let blacks enroll in at the University of Alabama. So he was, I really don't think that Governor Wallace really disliked blacks all that much. I really truly think that man was just a politician who was trying to make a name for himself,
mm-hmm.
and wanted to go big. He had plans to become president of the United States. I mean, he had said that himself. He was going all the way. So I think this was an instance that he used, and it's sad that he did that. I think it's very sad that he would have used and exploited black people to that point to better himself. And, you know, he was just that type of person. But, of course, it's sad what happened to him, too.
Right.
At the same time, two wrongs don't make a right. But he was a real strong, opinionated person who just was going after big time, and it failed.
Okay, I want to say thank you to Ms. Thomas for her time right now. We've been pressed for time, and we plan to continue this at a later date. That's okay with you. Is that okay with you?
That's fine. I enjoyed it.
Okay, thank you.